It's not here.
Yeah, no,
yep. Okay. So this is would be kind of a private session. It's okay with me. And actually, because you are so few, I would suggest that we try to make this more of a conversation than just me speaking. So even if you want to be near so we can have a more face-to-face talk, it is quite okay with me. Now, I know it's a little bit of a mouthful, but this is my name, okay? Don't expect you to remember it. I'm from Brazil. I've been working with computers like since those 30 centimeters floppy disks were starting to disappear. So I've seen my share of blunders, and I hope to have learned from them. And I have specialized in data administration. And it's quite frustrating. I don't know how many of you have to deal with database model documentation, database modeling itself, with what I call systems archaeology, you know? When you have this big piece of something I should not say in public, which you have to make work, or at least stop crashing, and then you have to look at the code and at the database. And like, you have this nice system with 2,000 tables, and they have no names, only codes. What do? You fly in this pair. Oops. How can I stop it from sleeping? I think I can't. Now, the thing is, standard answer to that question, how should I keep track of my data model? How should I model it? I think you know. It's entity relationship modeling. But I would say modeling. Why I would put modeling into quotes? Because actually the diagrams are a poor way of representing a database. And the database is a representation of reality. So how much of reality, how much of business rules, how much of structure can you represent in a diagram? Only so much. It becomes quite frustrating. Then you start having these huge diagrams. How can we make our work more productive? Well, first, I would suggest, first thing you have to use when you want to model your database, use your brain, please. Okay? Lots of people do not use brains, they use rules and thumb rules. Just because someone told you you should use only integers for keys, that's not necessarily true. Okay? Well, brains do not tell you too much. You should also please read something. Try to understand the reasons why people created these rules of thumb. And then, perhaps you should use pen and paper. See, I love computer tools, but when you start putting these little boxes, meaning entities, and these little lines, meaning relationships into a computer, you tend to not want to change that, because you put quite some time at drawing these boxes, even if you have tools like GnomeDia or KDE Kivio, or God forbid, Visual, or if you are rich enough, Erwin Embarcadero. When you are using pen and paper, just throw away, and you can draft your ideas again and again. Okay? It seems like counterintuitive, and perhaps it's not ecological, but it works. And then people use drafting and diagramming software. Why I am calling it drafting and diagramming? Because I do not believe in graphical data modeling. Really, do not believe in that. I think that entity relationship diagrams are quite nice for drafting after you did lots of pen and paper. They are also okay to represent a part of your model, the most visible part of your data model. But they are not everything. Okay? And then you have DDL. You know, data definition language? When you just write your create tables, your constraints. Now, your users may cringe at that. Okay, who is this crazy guy who is writing this stupid SQL code I can't understand, this stupid SQL, I never heard about it. But if you write it by hand, instead of letting a tool write it for you, it can be quite readable. And when you start to dig into the details of business requirements, and not only business, any requirement your organization, your site, your application may have, they start to understand it. It's nice. Users are not so stupid. You know, users are stupid. But we are always someone else's user. So we are stupid too. We can understand. They should be able to understand too. Well, we have some nice tools. I don't know if you know this. Okay, this is part of a screenshot of PG Designer. It's a ERD tool for specifically for Postgres. And you see, it's quite nice. You can see here, you have domains that you can create there. SQL domains, you have table spaces, you have procedures, relations or tables, everything. This is just stupid. Two stupid tables are created just to show that it kind of works. Now, as soon as you get into a more precise representation of your model, it becomes quite ugly. Can you read that? Yes, I know you can, okay? You came here. If you couldn't read that, you probably wouldn't be here. But the point is, it's ugly. It's not a pleasure to work with. So you have two representations, a graphical one, which is quite limited, which you have to navigate around, which as soon as you get enough tables there, you start to get lost. Have you ever seen a model made in Erwin or in Embarcadero with like 1,000 tables? Yes, you have. Did you like it? Yeah, no.
They look pretty.
Yeah, these tools. But do you ever try to make one of these diagrams look pretty? Like just dragging around and fixing lines, and then you ask Erwin or Embarcadero or whatever to diagram it for you, to make a new layout, and just. Okay, it's not nice. And then, okay, you can partition it in several models. And then you lose track of the relationships between parts of those models. Sometimes we spend more time in data administration taking care of diagrams, dealing with bugs, because these tools are full of bugs. They are not production code, you see? They are full of bugs. We start to get frustrated. So you have also problems that these tools, they do not scale. As soon as you start getting big models, they start to get slower and slower and slower. Okay. They are expensive. PG Designer is free software, okay, but it only works with Postgres. Quite often, you don't have that privilege. You have to work with really ugly software like I shouldn't mention names, but you know which. And then for the privilege of working with something worse than Postgres SQL, you pay like $10,000 to Computer Associates for Erwin, $10,000 for Rational Data Modeler, you pay to IBM. Okay. What else? And they become counterproductive. Really. It really That's, I think that's the worst. Okay, I paid, I have slow tools, but still they seem to hinder me from working. And they have limitations. Do you know, I was working with a quite recent version of Irwin. I think all of you heard about Irwin. It's kind of the standard on data modeling. Do you know it? Have you seen it? Yep. And then I wanted to do, it was Oracle, unfortunately, but Oracle has this quite nice capability that we are gaining also. We have already for some kinds of constraints, that it's deferrable constraints. And I couldn't express it in Erwin. Come on, that's stupid. If you can't defer a constraint, you do not have really nice transactions. You are forced to follow a sequence of actions inside of a transaction. And Erwin wouldn't let me represent deferrable constraints. And that's only one example. And that's with Oracle. If we take a look at this each year, these talks on new capabilities of Postgres, you'll see that Postgres is constantly gaining capabilities as far as data modeling goes. Now we just saw a talk on exclusion constraints. That's wonderful. But when will Erwin or Embarcadero or even PG Designer support it? If you want to use it, you'll have to code it. But you have a problem. Your basic representation of the model is a diagram. What do you do? You make an annotation, then you copy in the DDL output. It's really limiting. And you start to see that even experienced data administrators, data modelers, they tend to be limited by their tools. They don't even get to know new features, new SQL capabilities, because they only see diagrams. So they limit, not only they are limited, but they limit what we can do with our tools. Okay? But if you need small, simple data models, PG Designer and the search is actually nice. I do not mean to disparage PG Designer. It was just an example. Okay? Now, if we want to do data modeling with the source code, with DDL, we can use the Postgres SQL dialect. We can use ISO SQL and then create a little set of tools to translate it into the dialect we want if we need support more than one database management system. And perhaps one day we can even use other relational languages. You see, the relational model is not that complicated, especially if you are talking structure. So it should be quite easy to create a better language, easy, relatively speaking, okay? I do not mean it's a one-week job, but it could be that we get better languages and we just translate between them. You see, you have a representation of a model, which is the DDL, and you could translate it to another language. You could do it in a better language than SQL and translate back if you need. So that would be quite liberating. What we do have to help in the need we always have of documentation, we have some automatic diagramming tools. You know these tools, automatic diagramming? Okay, he's the author. That's it? Great, thank you very much. Actually, we have several of them. Autodoc, we can do diagrams with them, but also we can do DocBook, we can do HTML, and so on. We have SQL Fairy. If you need something more general, like you have to live with abominations, like Oracle, MySQL, SQL Server, whatever, SQL Fairy is much more difficult to use, but it works. Okay, well, I did it. I made it work with MySQL, so I'm so stupid, you probably will have a better time than me. You can also do diagrams. You can do LaTeX documents with SQL Fairy. And you have SchemaSpy, which is quite interesting. I intend to show you a sample later on. skims by those diagrams and does quite nice HTML output, which many programmers tend to find quite useful to navigate around a model and understand what their programs should do. Okay, but I intend to show them to you. And by the way, I intend also to publish this presentation. So, what's the traditional process of modeling? First, we do requirements. Probably, we do some text document with requirements, with informal statements of business rules and so on. I'm summing it very much. Then we draft a model, a data model. We do whatever diagrams we want. We create our database for development. And then we document it. It's usually just like that. Okay, you have the database. Probably you have the application already. And then you realize that people are having trouble understanding, even if you had the diagrams. So you start documenting it. Well, I've never seen well-maintained documentations, and I think that's pretty much because this sequence of work is quite common and it's crap. Okay? I've never seen anyone doing that really well in any big company, in any multinational company, whatever. Well, I would like to propose something else. I call it literary modeling. It's just a big name. But actually, what I am proposing is use tools you already have and use them well. Okay. You do not have to use all my process. It's quite flexible. It's just some ideas about how to better use tools already existing. So I suggest you keep getting your requirements in some kind of informal document, business rules, or whatever. I suggest you do a document. It might be a LaTeX document. It's my suggestion. You can do HTML. You can do OpenOffice too. And I suggest that in this document, you include your SQL. Now, what do I mean here? I derived this idea. It's actually taken almost straight from the book of Donald Knuth, Literary Programming. And I guess you already heard about that guy. Okay, he's a nice German old man who plays the organ and incidentally is one of the greatest programmers of all ages. Well, not that programming is so old, but he's still great. And he has a very interesting point. Programs, source code is made for people, not computers. Computers must understand programs, but we do the programs, and we are responsible for maintaining it. So we should write programs to communicate with other people, with people who will be responsible for doing software archaeology on our code. You see? Perhaps you will have to do source code archaeology in your own code. And perhaps it's not even a matter of years, perhaps in 6 years. No, 6 months, you won't be able to read anymore. You know that joke about Perl, the first and only write-only language? If you take some models I've seen, some diagrams, they are also write-only. Okay? So what's the idea? You write what you are thinking. You write your decisions. And when you write your decisions, okay, I decided to create a table. Then you put the code there. Nothing could be clearer. I decided to create this table and then to normalize it. And so the source code is part of the document and it can be read. Even if you are a user or if you forgot the specifics of that language you are using, you still can read it. Okay? And then from that document, you can derive automatically diagrams. You don't have to pull boxes around. Okay. I even failed to mention most of these automatic diagramming tools. They use a quite nice diagramming piece of code which is called GraphViz. And I tell you, after 20 years doing diagrams, I still can't do a diagram as nice as GraphViz does. Like it's like doing documents with LaTeX. I can't do them as beautiful as Don Onuth has planned them. Now, an example. Okay, so this was a Canadian guy, by the way. He had this small enterprise, and he had created his database, and he knew it was a mess. Okay, I think you realize that he's not using a proper database. Okay, it's no secret. So the first thing I said, okay, I can fix it for you, and I can give you a real database, but you realize you have also data modeling and documentation problem. In a few months, you won't understand. You see, he has no keys. He has only auto increment, which are not keys at all. It was a mess. And he asked me, how can you help me? Well, what was my answer? Let's do some literal modeling. Okay, this is what I did use here. First, I use NoWeb. So NoWeb is a tool which is meant to help you write literary programs, programs people can actually read. In this case, it uses the syntax of LaTeX. It doesn't need to be so. You can use it with HTML documents, anything which is source code and can produce a readable document. Okay? So if you think LaTeX too ugly, don't worry. Use HTML. Use whatever you like. Okay? Now, this is just a header. It's not much. It's quite a simple header. Just say I'm writing a document as an article because it will be quite a short model. Okay? Some stuff I like to use, like acronyms, whatever. And then I start the document, title, my name. And where is the real stuff? The real stuff's here. Okay? This is not very well developed, okay? This is a guy who just got scary of continuing the work, so I just took it as a simple example. I was explaining my modeling this and naming decisions. I introduce a documentation section of the file with that at sign. And I said, what? I changed it. Well, I changed the names. MySQL has eccentric names. It calls indexes keys. It calls a schemas database. So I will use relational terms. Then I opened a section, said, I'm going to write some support functions. Okay. How do I write the support functions? In the same file, in the same document, I introduce a section of code with the code I just described. So this is a support function. Okay? You can see it's PostgreSQL code already. I'm creating a function. And this function I'm writing in Perl. Actually, not writing. I copied it from David Fetter. I recommend copying code from the Fetter. It's usually a good idea. Okay. And I'm using, it's not really actually much code. I'm just using a Perl library to validate email addresses. And trust me, there's quite lots of code around there that you can use to enforce consistency at the database level. You can check for the validity of all kinds of identities, personal identities, and so on. No, this is not the issue. The issue is, once I've created a model just like that, you see, I can continue on and on. I'm defining domains. Why I'm defining domains? Because I want the model to be consistent. And then I start creating the domains. I could make a comment for each one of them, and I wouldn't have to have them fitting in just an SQL comment. They could be several pages long if I wanted to. It's quite flexible. I keep alternating commentaries, which will be part of a very nice document, and source code. Okay. I continue with tables. Not much of a commentary there. And then NoWeb extracts the source code for me. Just for a while, throws out all commentary and generates DDL, which I can actually run. Okay? So that file I was writing is a full representation of everything I could think of putting into my data model. No limitations whatsoever. No Erwin to tell me what I can write or not. And I can do my indentation, I can have readable source code, whatever. So it just keeps separating all my DDL from the comments I had. And then it generates two with a different binary program executable, the latte output, which I will use to generate a very nice PDF document, cross-referenced, whatever you want. It's quite powerful and quite beautiful. It makes an impression, especially on pointy-haired bosses, you see? When they see this nice, very nice document, which even their market department can't do as nice as Latte did for you, quite gives you some credibility. It's stupid, but it's true. And it's not that stupid. It's really good to read a well typographed and laid out document. So the nice thing is that when NoWeb does this, and there are other tools besides NoWeb, okay, this is just the one that happens to be simple enough for me, because I'm not a coder, it not only keeps the definition of the document and my comments, but it also keeps the code together. So when I get this final PDF or HTML or whatever, I will read my model quite easily. Now, this would be something the like. But I want to show you not what could fit in these slides, okay? I want to show you a real document, because then you realize that it's not as stupid as it seems. It's nothing much, this proposition of mine. It's just, I would say, a Columbus egg. You know the joke about Columbus egg? Something which should really be obvious. This is an example of an automatically created diagram. Let me get it bigger so you can take a better look of it. I did not have to draw that, okay? Autodoc, GraphViz, SQL Ferry do this. This is a file which I can incorporate back into any document generated by literary programming. So in my document, I can have not only my commentaries, not only the source code, but also diagrams. And the nice thing is, it can be done automatically. Every day that I go there and type something new, I can have simple scripts generating these diagrams and incorporating them back and generating new PDFs, new HTML files, new scripts to keep the development database, to compare the development database with production so that if we decide going into production or into testing environment, whatever, it can be done automatically. I can really take care of my model and leave all the heavy lifting to tools, because we are dealing with source code, you see? It's so much nicer to deal with text source code. Autodoc can be automated, SQL Ferry can be automated, GraphViz can be automated, Latte can be automated, because it's all scripts, it's all command line programs. It's very practical. If you have to use Erwin, why do you have to pay $10,000? Because you want versioning. You want to go back in the versions of your model and see what was your model like 1 year ago? And it's really slow. It takes a whole database server just to keep this version. And it gets corrupted because, you know, it's quite incredible, but this model repositories by Computer Associates, by IBM, quite often they do not have data integrity constraints. It's true. Sometimes you have to remember keeping a copy of a file of your model because the database will get corrupted. It seems that you had this problem also.
No?
Yeah, but it's common. It's common enough that it's a standard procedure. It's just stupid.
You have to either laugh or cry, and I choose to laugh.
Yeah, no, but you're totally right. You see? And it gets worse. Like IBM, their last tool actually stores everything into their source code repository. But try to understand that source code. It's useless. See?
What I don't understand is I understand the concept of literate programming and no web, but how do you transform your no web document using either AutoDoc or whatever to make this diagram?
That's the question. Well, it's not difficult. I have to ask your forgiveness because my disk just crashed, okay? So I do not have here, I should have here scripts to show you and so on. But you know what I will do? Let me see if it will work. I just draft here the process in more detail. I did not want to put it in the slides, but... So I have the source code, okay? So I have something I will call just model no web. And from there, I will generate a model, say, SQL, and a model LaTeX. Okay? So here we are using no web. In this case, it has two programs, no Tangle and no Weave, which will give me the source code and the LaTeX document. Now, from this SQL file, which is the DDL, which will generate and my model, I go through AutoDoc, I go through SQL Fairy, and they will generate an SVG, or a PNG, or whatever you want, or several. You can create little scripts, really simple stuff, to separate. Like, I have too big a data model. I want to fragment the diagrams between several files. It's all text files. I can just take one schema and make a separate SQL and make it, say, an SVG or a PNG. And then my LaTeX or HTML document can reference this graphical diagram file. Sorry for not having the whole script here. It's really, I bought this computer Monday morning because my old one crashed. You see, and it was a hardware failure. And you're traveling, you not have much to do. Oh, it's not really appearing as it should. It's actually simple. I intend when I get back home to get a full version where I have all the comments and publish it, so it will be much nicer. But these are only suggestions of tools and data formats. You are not obliged to use LaTeX. You can use HTML. You are not obliged to use AutoDoc. You can use SQL Fairy. It's really more of a concept. You get your own tool set.
I've been watching. I watched the literary programming thing from its inception with interest. The challenge in business environments is people are really accustomed to. I want to have a Word doc, and if it's not a Word doc, then what will it
Granted.
I sometimes fight the doc book good fight. I've used doc book for a lot. I would use doc book rather than HTML, but that's, none of these are
business acceptable.
Are business user friendly, not even really very remotely.
Yes, I know.
So, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by business user friendly?
Dilbert level?
Yeah, the pointy-haired people who sometimes have nice hair. I've got Visio and Word on my my tool set is Visio and Word and Excel, and this isn't that.
No, you are.
If the business layer.
Yes. You mean, I think, I mean, you think you too have reason. Because if you do this, you are changing totally the workflow. Okay? You probably won't be able to do that unless your team is quite intelligent and interested in doing things better. It will take some time for them to get used. The thing is, only you can evaluate your tool set and your requirements, and see if you have a team good enough, and if you can just tell your boss, like, I'm writing, and at the end of the day, you'll have your nice Word or PDF or whatever. I wouldn't say you could perhaps generate visual from this kind of stuff, but you could generate a PDF which is nicer than visual. The thing is, fitting that into a common enterprise is not easy, and you are totally right on that.
Like, I think the output that you get from Raft is, personally, I use Raft is directly for a lot of the
Yes, you can do that.
But that's usable for me. That's other people don't necessarily agree.
Yes, that's why we have to thank for Autodoc.
If I give them a JPEG, they're happy. If I give them a JPEG, they're happy with, everything's happy.
Yes. So. Yes, that's precisely. It's not easy to do things decently, but they were never easy.
One thing I found that works well is if you give them the automated generated graph, laminate it, and give them all markers, they're all perfectly happy.
Yes. What I had. Like what I once did is that, and in fact I think they are still using it. It was not even Autodoc because we were bound to MySQL. So I had an idle script keeping all documents up to date. So in the morning everyone had up to date documentation and they were happy.
I can definitely see like the idea of how this would work in kind of a traditional environment where you have one file or maybe a set of files that just defines what your schema is.
Right.
Where we work, we push code out every 2 weeks, so there's just absolutely no way that we could actually maintain that. So
why not? Can you try to explain me?
The problem that you run into is that when you make a change to a table, alter table, add column. Even if you added it to your script that you used to create a database from scratch, that doesn't actually help you in production. Because in production, what you need is this incremental patch that says, oh, you have a database, you have the table, you just want to add the column.
Well, okay. You have a very interesting question, and I hadn't put anything there, but you do have automated tools that do the difference between schemas. You have, I do not remember now, but I think it's called schema diff. And even it's something that you can do in-house. I work at huge environments like telecom companies where we did just that. We had this set of Perl scripts that just compared scripts in several versions and generated the difference in outer tables.
Jim,
and it's reliable.
Jim, I'm guys giving a talk tomorrow. What we actually do is we take the output out of PG dump and we split out every object into files in the subversion repository. So you've got your DDL in one area, you're committing, it's going forward, and then you have a picture every day of the static snapshot of what your table is. The trouble then becomes you've got this lovely thing which you can grab that says what my static table is, and then you've got to reintegrate it back into your literate document so that you would have to build your...
If I understood your...
your thing, imagine you have a table.
Okay.
And you're going to add a new column to it that's going to require a new lookup table, and you're going to end up putting a new foreign key into the table today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you have this beautiful document, this beautiful literate document that's got, I got a table here, it's described.
Okay.
Now, you put a patch in that says alter table, add column, add foreign key.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure that's what you would do.
Yeah.
And this is something that we're sort of fighting over.
We're all fighting over this.
the question is, do you create an alter table, or do you store alter table, or do you store the new form of the schema?
The answer is you store both.
If you store the form, I'm biasing towards storing the new form of the schema, but which is another. That's a whole other story.
Well, there's no right answer.
If you store the
yes, there's no right answer.
Then that fits very nicely with his model,
right.
Because in that case, you say, well, then there's some new columns in this, and there's a new table, and we put it into the right section.
Right.
In the no web material.
Yep.
And so you can have brand new documentation for the brand new thing that you've added in. And so from a integrated documentation perspective, that's really nice.
Right.
That doesn't address the problem of how do I know that production looks like this, the new schema looks like this, and we have a differencing problem. But that is that's a separate problem.
So we actually have a framework that does that. Like when I write a patch, I call a function, it says, hey, I've applied this patch, I have a table in the database. So I can run my tool and say, here's a list of patches, and it figures out what it needs to apply, and it does dependency tracking and other stuff.
Yeah.
So like, we've actually solved that problem. The interesting thing is the documentation side, and there's two thoughts that come to mind. One is that I really love the fact that Postgres has comments. I mean,
I see.
Holy cow, what a novel concept. Comments on the objects in the database. So,
I haven't dealt with that. I'm not a coder, but I guess any moderately competent programmer would be able to just feed some marked sections back into comment statements in Postgres. It shouldn't be hard.
That's actually what Autodoc was written for, was to take doc books from the comments on tables in the database and draw cross references between them when PDF was generated.
Yes.
So
what I'm proposing is a little bit of an inversion, and I haven't coded it, but it's all text. You see? Even if you write it to the database and want to compare like production database for which you happen to have no script, but still it's text there. You can get the DDL and you can compare.
Well, pgdump-s does give you something fairly meaningful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and all that you can use Git or CVS or SVN to track your changes and to compare in any point without depending on any costly, slow tool. It's quite flat. It takes setup, okay? The place where I had best success with that is actually a friend of mine who is a very bright engineer, and he had this idea of creating a geoprocessing company to help people do farming in Brazil in large scale. So because he had this engineer background and because he wanted to really start on the right foot, we took the time to generate a process and to get it integrated and automated. And it took quite some time because he had other worries. He was the coder, I wasn't. And he actually did not understood data modeling at all. I had to explain it all to him. It takes some time, and many, quite often in business, just like we were talking some other day, the guy just wants to start making money with his cousin who programs Boiler and Delphi, and then he gets enough money to hire you to try to fix the stuff. And so I know this is not generally acceptable in business environments. I'm not proposing to save the world. I just want to save my sanity. Yeah. I want to know that, okay, even if I'm obliged to work in this stupid way, dragging boxes around, at least some projects I can have a better way of working. And it doesn't have to be no web. There are several literary programming tools around. You do not have to use my whole process. You can use parts of it. It can really fit into your needs. That's the beauty of it. Is that something that makes sense? Yeah. You see, I invented nothing. It's like common sense. I ventured to present a proposal for a talk because I never saw anyone organizing it. You see? And I think that if we can at least tell people there's an alternative, we could perhaps have a more pleasurable way of working. Just one thing before you start, you continue to see all the failures. I managed to salvage this document, which was just really a, how do you call, skeleton document. And even I lost the DDL, but okay. Next week I should have Bertus. This is an automatically generated document, which got integrated back into a LaTeX document. You see? This can be generated automatically, nightly, hourly, whatever you want. And in LaTeX, you can have a glossary down there with all the specific terms. You can have... How do we go here? Yep. You can have a table of contents. It's all Portuguese, sorry. Okay. It's... Yep. And I lost the source code, which was the most important thing here. Okay? But that's the idea. I could make this diagram into a separate... Oops. What's happening? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I could make this diagram into a separate page and print it A3 and apply it inside of a nice folder so that my boss would find a nice, even binded book, if you wanted. See? That's basically the idea. Just let me show you also. So this is the site of NoWeb, which is the tool I use. Autodoc, if you are lucky enough to work with Postgres. If you are not lucky enough to work with Postgres...
We're hiring.
Huh? Please. Then you have SQL Fairy, which is not nearly as nice as Autodoc, but it can actually deal with Oracle, MySQL, whatever abomination you are forced to use. And one nice, very, very nice thing, which also uses GraphVis, okay, so it's kind of gives you the same quality, is SchemaSpy. It's quite nice for pointy-haired bosses and programmers because you get a whole site representing your data model. And it's all hyperlinked.
That's going to be the nice, this is the nice approach. If you have a diagram with 300, if you've got 300 tables,
yeah.
300 tables are a killer. I think if you can scroll down a little bit on this,
yes.
Our developers love this. You get but
yes, yes.
Scroll down so you see the close relationships. You can.
You mean here?
Yeah, we've got the whole diagram, but it will show close relationships. So if you click on, say, pup, doesn't matter what you click on. Click on any table.
Yes.
It now shows book with all the things that are near, that are directly associated.
You can just navigate the model. I agree, it's the most useful thing ever for programmers, you see? But it's usually not enough. Not for technical reasons, for marketing reasons, and when, like, someone has to get acquainted to a totally new model, it's also nice to have something on paper and easy to read. But I agree, this is the most useful part.
Our developers love these stuff.
Yes. Usually, when I give them this kind of stuff, they just start working and they are happy. But still, managers like paper. Paper is important for long-term survival, like this. This is piece of code which is now stable, and because it's stable, it will be soon forgotten by everybody. And then you'll find some CD with a PDF document explaining the decisions. What this doesn't do is explain decisions. You have to write comments. And that's the hardest part. It's not actually the tool set. It's writing.
Where does, how do the comments work with Schemaspy? Where does it get those?
It pulls in comments from the comment on.
Yep. That's what I am missing. I would like to figure out some kind of markup to say, in all this I've written explaining my decisions, what is the part that should go back into an SQL comment?
The killer thing that's missing in this is it will only deal with one schema. So
yes.
If you have a database with eight schemas.
Oh, you're kidding.
No,
there's
a schemas directive that you can list individual schemas in.
Yes.
At least in the latest beta.
Oh, in the latest? Okay,
yeah.
Then
that's
a thing. Really,
yeah,
that's what I love about free software. Every time I face a limitation, it's probably in beta or in alpha or in someone's head, but it's there.
that was the killing reason why there's fundamentally Autodoc has had a fundamental advantage over this.
Yes, more flexible.
Because it's... this is flexible in some different ways. Autodoc will pull the whole schema, the whole database schema, everything. This really only directly deals with, historically, one schema at a time and certain objects.
Actually, if you are really desperate and you, for some reason, can't get the beta versions or whatever, because it's all text, you can parse it and separate as you like. See? I've quite often done this. Even I got sometimes these big binary Oracle dumps, and then I filtered it to get the source code to the database, and then I separated it into schemas or whatever. It's something you can do with like Emacs or with Sed. You know, Sed, the stream editor. It's quite useful. We have the tools. The reason I want to put Debian back into this machine is that I want my tools back, and I simply can't find them easy enough to use in all this graphical-oriented environment. Text is really powerful. Source code versioning for both documents and code. This is really, really powerful. You can even version intermediate steps. You can version the original document, you can version the DDL meant for the creation of a new database, you can version the differential DDL with the outer tables, which was also automatically generated. You see? So, we are early. If you want to give me suggestions, how should I learn to fill up this stuff, like getting back comments into SQL again? Oh, yeah. This is also nice.
Something that could be useful as well. I don't know if any of you have used DB
Yes.
Besides just your normal orthogonal circular, it allows you to view all of your entire table on your PDL structure very nicely and very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all my developers use that as well. I really do like what you were showing up there.
Uh-huh.
It also does the same thing where you can click and it will show its relationships.
Yes. In fact, the nice thing, like you have SchemaSpy, which will give you something quite digested, okay. But because it's based on GraphViz and AutoDoc also uses GraphViz, all right? And you can manipulate even the .dot or .nito files, which are the intermediate steps in this process, and you can parameterize GraphViz to generate these diagrams in whatever form you want. So, okay, the DBView Visualizer is probably easier to use. But we do have the capability of representing diagramming in quite a few ways.
AutoDoc actually uses Template Toolkit.
Template Toolkit?
There's a number of toolkits. One generates DocBook, one generates...
Ah, yes.
Yes.
And like, I'm not a programmer. I'm really lousy with computers, you see. But even I can do this kind of stuff. It's not a big deal. It's more knowing where you want to go and knowing you do not have to follow what everyone else is doing. And also knowing that you will not be able to use the best tool for all your work because you have organizational constraints. But at least perhaps you can use some of them. All right. One thing that I would really, really, really love to is once, I don't think I have it here now, but is that if we could have a truly relational, simpler language than SQL. SQL is quite complex, even if you appreciate its quirks for historical, physical reasons. It would be very nice if we could create a new language which was totally logical, and then we would separate logical and physical aspects of the database and even generate SQL from that.
One thing that I would like to see if anybody's interested in writing tools is something where I can put a query into a document and have, say, the table name linked to the structure of the table, select star from table and have the table be a link.
Can you repeat that?
Uh-huh. Select star from table.
Okay.
Then, like the table specifically in the documentation to end up as a HTML symlink to the schema of a table, of that table that I'm using in the query.
Actually, I do that. Sorry for not having a full document here, but I do something similar with cross references in LaTeX.
Okay.
Okay, you can do that in HTML2. It's not as nice because you won't have it in the source code, but it should not be difficult. I use just cross reference for pictures, for pieces of source code. Once.
Yeah. Okay.
Once when I write the document.
Our guys did an XML based thing where they're writing mostly Java applications,
mm-hmm.
and so the queries. For storing queries as an XML document that has a series of latent queries. So that naturally lends itself to being able to pull that out and sort of document.
That's kind of what I ended up with.
I think everybody winds up recreating that wheel. It's not a hard wheel to recreate.
I keep hoping for a SQL parser.
Yeah, the thing is that SQL is so hugely complex that what I've seen, even with tools like we had for schema difference or things like Erwin, when you want to reverse engineer something, is that quite soon there will be some new SQL which will just break your tool. But that's because the standard itself, I don't remember how many thousand pages the standard has now. Okay.
And then you can execute your query, not in actual execution mode, but as an explain and capture.
Because then you're capturing the essential of the stuff. Because then you are dealing already with reduced representation of the code.
The problem with there's the minor problem is you're extracting query optimizer details at that point, which is not necessarily what you really want.
But yeah, mumble that's it also doesn't work well at the same
time. So I don't remember what in the past what did you think about this great. Because we have full access to Postgres, maybe there's something that can be done there where you create something that basically uses the proper definitions of Postgres itself and then allows you to, instead of trying to run a query, do something else with the output of that.
Yeah, the EDL capture, the notion in the replication community is interested in capturing DDL,
yeah,
so that they could try and duplicate the DDL someplace else. Maybe there's something to be found there.
Possibly, yeah.
Like if they can capture DDL, just getting plain queries should be a lot easier.
Yeah, there was talk at the committee's thing yesterday about putting in a DDL trigger so that.
Don't get my hopes up like that.
Yeah.
It sounds like guns. They can be needed, but they are dangerous.
In 9.0 means you would have to create something pretty heinous yourself, pretty awful yourself. But it makes it more possible to do something.
All right.
Hook your microphone?
So
I can set up that.
Yep. Welcome. I hope it was useful.
Thank you.
Some ideas.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You don't have to. I mean, you could come running down. You have a really grand entrance.